Shalom, this is Bailey Rothberger from Young Israel Pasei Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights for the Daf series. Tonight we'll be discussing Meseches Brachos Daf Yotes. The Shir is being Le'ili Nishmas from Shaul ben Shulamit Salma, Erez Naphtali's father. And the topic is the Tanur Shalachnoi, the oven that changed so much than just food. The Gemara lists a number of cases on Yotes Amud Aleph where we're menada, let's just translate it as banning for now, people because they exhibit and demonstrate a lack of Kavada Torah. The Gemara mentions there are 24 examples of cases where we were menada people, banning them for not showing that proper Kavod. Rabbi Elazar says that he only can find three. The Gemara offers other cases that feel should have been included, and then explains to the reason as to why the Chachamim omitted it. One such case the Gemara brings down is the famous and tragic machlokas of Tanur Shalachnoi. The case brought down above Metzia, primarily, was actually an innocuous machlokas, or seemingly innocuous machlokas, in Yachos Tumah between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar declares this particular Tanur to be Tahar and capable of becoming Tamei, while the Chachamim say it is susceptible to Tumah. Before getting into the details of the story, let's analyze the case. In the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, most of the ovens are made of cheres or earthenware. The rule is that when such a kli becomes tamei, when such a kli becomes tamei, it may no longer become tahar. What we do say is the only way to really metire it is like the euphemism of shvirasan zohi tarasan, meaning breaking it is only for it to become tahar. So obviously, when you break it, it's not going to be a kli anymore. So in effect, essentially, such a tanur or such a kli is unable to become tahar. Here we were dealing with a case of the tanur shalachnoi. What exactly was the tanur shalachnoi? So Rashi says that we are dealing with a tanur, this cone-shaped oven made out of a chayrus that became tummy. The person, knowing that the only way for it to become possibly to use a bit tahar is to break it, decides to cut it into pieces. So he cuts the tanur into pieces. He then uses sand to combine the pieces back together into a tanur. Rabbi Elazar says that this tanur can no longer be makabel tumah, while the Chachamim feel that it can. What's this machlokas based on? So according to the Ritvan Bava Metzia, you have to realize that the tanur is useless without the sand that's used to hold the layers together. So Rabbi Elazar will say that since it can't be used as a tanur without the sand, we look at it as a broken kli cheres and consider it to be tahar. The Chachamim explained, though, since you're able to connect the original pieces with the sand and is still able to function as an oven, we review it, we still consider it to be the original kli. In other words, do we view this new kli, do you view this tanur that's been put together with sand as a new kli? Or is it the original kli that's been fixed? If it's a new kli, then it's no longer susceptible to Kabbalah Stoma, and if it's the original kli, it's obviously still considered to be tummy. Now, but this sounds like a technical machlokas in an area of halacha that now is unfortunately obscure. It led to a huge controversy and tremendous tragedy. The Gemara in Bava Metzia relates the following. Tanab, Oso, Ayom, on that day, Heshi Rabbi Eliezer called Chubu Sheba Olam. Rabbi Eliezer brought all the proofs that he could possibly find below Kiblu Hemino. And they didn't accept any of his proofs. So Amar Lahem, finally in desperation, he said, Im halacha kamosi, if the halacha follows me, Charuv zeyach yochiach, let this carob tree prove it. The Gemara says amazingly, Nekar charuv mimakamu mea alma. The carob tree moved 100 feet. 100 cubits. 200 feet. Some say 400 feet. And without getting into the details of the Gemara over there, the 200 feet and the 400 feet is not necessarily the literal amount, or might be the literal amount, but one could also have this definitely a homiletic message behind the machlokas that we have over here. Anyways, Armuloli said to him, a Mavian rhyme in a charuv, you can't be proofs from a tree. Sorry. We learn halacha over here. You're not going to bring me a proof from a tree. So Rabbi Elazar was not meant to be deterred, and Rabbi Elazar continues, and Rabbi Elazar says the following, fine. Let the water prove it, let the river prove it. And what happened was, the river began to flow the opposite way. They said to him, that's very nice, but we don't bring a proof from the river. So in more frustration, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash prove it, and all of a sudden, he too caused the Beis HaMedrash lipo. The walls of the Beis HaMedrash started to cave in. So Gar Behem Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua got angry at the walls, literally. And he says, if the Chacham of Machlokas, the Chacham are discussing the Halacha, what's it your business? And the Gemara says, amazingly, they didn't cave in because of the honor of Rabbi Yeshua, but they didn't become straight. They kavodol shurav the Yezer for Rabbi Yehoshua's honor. So now you have a Beis Medrash where the walls are half caved in. But it gets even more. The story doesn't end over here. So finally, Rabbi Elazar says, if the halacha follows me, then let's prove it from the heavens. And what happens? Yotzabas kol. A heavenly voice went out. The Amra, and he said, what do you guys have against Rabbi Elazar? He's right all the time. And his logic makes sense. Follow Rabbi Elazar in this case. So Amra, Rabbi Yeshua, gets up. The Amra, and he says, lo bashamayim hi. The Torah is no longer in heaven. And Milo Bashamayim, what does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yirmiya, Shekvar Nitnami Har Sinai. That once the Torah was given from Har Sinai, Einanu Mashkichim Bavaskol, we don't pay attention to a Baskol. Shekvar Kosaf to Har Sinai B'Torah, because it was already said in the Torah from Har Sinai, Acharei Rabim Lahatos. And the Gemara goes on to say that Rabbi Elazar still refused to give in. And here's what the tragedy says. The Amru V'Oso Hayom, on that day, they took all the things, not only this case, but any situation, in example of a situation where Rabbi Eliezer was Mikil and Hilchos Tumah, and he says the Kli Yistar and the Chacham disagreed. They went and Sarfum Ba'esh, and they burnt them, and everybody saw. And then the Nimlu Alav, and they got together regarding him, Uber Chuhu, and they blessed him. And obviously, if you look at the context of the story, they basically nullified and revatel every single one of his pisky halacha in public. You're going to say that, oh, berchu, they gave him a bracha. What possibly bracha could they give? And this is not a bracha of, it doesn't mean the bracha in the sense of giving a blessing. This is a euphemism. And there's actually a machlokas as to what this is. Both Rashi, Tosas, the Rifa say, it means they put him in nidui. They banned him. The Ramban and the Rashba say, they actually put him in cherem. Now, what's the difference between the two, between Nidui and Chayram? So in this, I'm actually going to quote a very interesting halachic source, and that is the halacha of Wikipedia. It's true, it's not the most commonly quoted thing in the shir, but the truth is, it does give a very brief and succinct definition as to the difference between Nidui and Chayram. The Wikipedia says, Nidui means the following. It's a ban usually imposed for a period of 7 days, and Eretz Yisrael was 30 days. It's inflicted on the account of money matters. During the days, first a person was warned 3 times, on Monday, Thursday, and Monday, during davening and shul. During the period of nidui, nobody except the members of his family are permitted to associate him or sit within 4 amos of him, or to eat in his company. He's expected to go into mourning and to refrain from washing, cutting his hair, wearing shoes, just like an avil. And he has to perform basically the halachos of an avil. He can't be counted into a minion in the performance of religious function. If he dies, a stone is placed on his coffin, and relatives are not obligated to observe ceremonies customary of the death of a relative, such as kriya. It was in the power of the court to lessen or increase the severity of the nidui. The court might either reduce or increase the number of days, exclude his children from schools and his wife from the court, forbid Tash or Shemitah, but the person until becomes humbled and wishes to repent. Okay, so that is the idea of Nidu. What is Cherem? So Cherem is an offense if the offense was in reference to monetary matters or the punishment was inflicted by an individual. The laws were more lenient. The chief punishment meaning they may not associate with the offender. However, if the excommunicate, showed no signs of patience or remorse, the nidui might be renewed once again, and finally the cherem, the most rigorous form of excommunication, must be pronounced. This is extended for an indefinite period, and no one was permitted to teach the offender or work for him or benefit him in any way, except when he was in need of the bare necessities. So basically, nidui is tough, but it's for a limited amount of time. Cherem is till that person repents. So there's a machlokas Rishonim as to whether they put Rabbi Elezer in Nidui or Cherem. Now the Rishonim give different proofs to either sides. I'll share one from each, and the Chiyah which the other one presents. Let's start with the Ramban. The Ramban says Rabbi Elezer was an actual Cherem, the more severe state that's not given a time limit. The Ramban quotes for the proof of this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer, to the Sanhedrin, that Sam Ches, when Rabbi Eliezer became sick at the end of his life, Nichnasu Rabbi Akiva, excuse me, Bechaveir of Levakro, Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues went to visit him. Hu Yoshev, the king of Shalom, he was sitting in his little area, Vehem Bishim, Betrakh, and Shalom, they were sitting in their area. Va'osuva Yomer Shabbos Haya, it was a Friday afternoon. Vinichnas Hurkanus Beno, the Hurkanus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer, came in. Lachlos tefillah to take off his tefillin. Garbo v'niyasa ben azifa. So Rabbi Lezer got angry at his son Horkanes, and Rabbi Lezer left in a huff. Amalin chaveiro, he said to his contemporaries. Rabbi Lezer said to his contemporaries. I'm sorry, Horkanes said to the contemporaries. Rabbi Lezer, k'dumaduma anisha daito shel apa nitrifa. I thought my father was mind was a little bit wandered, was gone. Amalin, he said to them, daito v'dasimo nitrifa. He said no. My son and my wife, their minds are going a little bit. Hey, Chmanicha, Mr. Skila, what are they busy going ahead? And not getting ready for Shabbos and chancing Chil Shabbos, which has an Isra Skila. Vyoskin v'Isker Shvus, and dealing with the Rabbana of wearing tefillin on Shabbos. Rebbe said, they're crazy. I think I'm crazy? They're crazy. Came in Sheru Chachomim Shadaito Miyu Shabbos, when they saw that he was in right sound mind, Yoshu Lefanav Mirichu Tal Ramos, they came and sat before him less than four, he had a distance of four Amos. So Amr Lehem, he said to them, Lama Basim, why did you come? Amr Le, Lumo Torah, we come to learn Torah. So Amr Lehem said to them, Ve'achshav Lama Lo Basim. He said, till now, why didn't you come? Amr Le, Lohayim Lo Pinai, we'd have a chance. So the idea the Ramban's bringing down. The Talmidim only came to visit Rabbi Eliezer because they thought he was dying. The Halacha points out the Ramban, based on the Gemara Moed Katan, is that a Menuda can teach Torah, while someone in Cherem can't. From the fact that the Talmidim had not come is a proof that Rabbi Eliezer was actually in Cherem. Now the Rishonim push off this Rehaya by saying there could be a different reason why they did not come. And that's not because of the Cherem, but because of the Kavod for Rabbi Eliezer. What do I mean? The Halacha is that while a Menuda can still teach, he must, as we said above, must distance himself at least four Amos from the Talmidim. 6 feet, ironically, to social distance. Since the Chacham did not want to social distance himself from the Rebbe, yes, it was not a pandemic, but rather, they just didn't come to him. You can even add the result of the story that Rabbi Elezer was angry. In fact, Rabbi Elezer says, to me, I'll be shocked in Yamusu Misas Atzman if all of you die a regular death. And he said, Rabbi Akiva, Shalim Mahu, Rabbi Akiva said, what about me? You're going to have the most tragic death of all. So you can see that Rabbi Eliezer's reaction was for the result that he was angry because they could have come and they didn't come. Now, what could the Ramban say? The Ramban can say that the fact that he was so angry was because they put him in this situation. Either way, though, you see, the fact that he didn't teach them could either be a proof or it's one point of contention as to whether Rabbi Elezer was in Nidui or whether he was in Cherem. A riot to the Nidui position is in the aftermath of the story in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia continues on and says, Rabbi Akiva says, let me come, and I'll be the one to tell him. So, Lovas Resort says, Rabbi Akiva, Lovas Shechorim, Rabbi Akiva put on black, Venis Atev Shechorim, he wrapped himself in black, V'yoshel Lefana Berichak Arba Amos. And he sat four Amos, 6 feet away from Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, Mayomi, Mayim, what's going on? Amar lo Rabbi, Kimeduma, Ani, it appears to me, Shechaverim, Bedelim, Mimcha, that your colleagues are separating from you. The idea of Bedelim, Mimcha, explained the Rishonim, is that they're separating, which implies Nidui. As had it been Cherem, then Rabbi Eliezer would indicate, Rabbi Akiva would have indicated that there are many more requirements. Rabbi Akiva would have indicated it because there are many, many more requirements for Cherem than there are for Nidui. Now, the Ramban can counter this by saying the statement was said with the Kavod Rabbi Elezer in mind. And really, they did force him into Cherem and not into Nidui. Interestingly, the Gemara in a number of places says Nida is one example. It says, "Ein alocha ker b'lezer mishum sher b'lezer shamuti." He's a shamuti. What does it mean by shamuti? So Rashi explains over there that he was a nidui. And the Ramban says that it's true. And we will agree this with it also. But he holds that it's not nidui, but it's actually chera. So what do we see from this story? We see from this story that there was this idea that Rabbi Eliezer did not accept the authority, and because there wasn't any vitor, it led to horrible consequences. It leads to Rabbi Gamliel's death, it leads to Rabbi Eliezer's death, and eventually it leads to Rabbi Akiva and the Asaru Gimalchus' death also. Terrible, horrible tragedy. Why does Gemara bring this down? So the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is not apologetic. And we don't go and just simply whitewash all the stories that take place in Chazal and treat our Chacham as saints. They're obviously tremendous people and tremendous tzaddikim and such. And they must be revered, and we do revere them. But we also know that they're human. And we also know that they're fallible. And they sometimes make mistakes. And what we're going to be learning over here is that clearly in this story, it teaches us the dangers of just not giving in. And the fact is that Rabbi Eliezer could have very just easily said, fine, I'm maskim in this case. If I'm going to be maskim in this case, these things would have worked out a little bit. But instead, what happened? Every single psak that he made in Hilchos Taharos was overturned. Every single heter that he gave was thrown away. And he was put into either nidui or techeran, a really, really awful punishment, not befitting somebody of a Kavod Rabbi Eliezer. What do we have to learn from this? So we just come on the aftermath of Purim. And in Purim we see a machlokas also which took place. In the fourth parak of Megillas Esther, which I like to think is the transitional parak, is that we actually have a machlokas which took place between none other than Mordechai and Esther. And what was the machlokas based on? The machlokas, of course, was based on whether they should be going to Ahasuerus or not. Esther saying, it's not time to go. The decree is going to be, for Haman's decree is in another 11 months. Ahasuerus hasn't called me for a while. He'll call me and I'll come. And then we'll deal with it that way. And Mordechai says, you have to go right now. Mordechai lashes out at Esther. And what does Esther do? Esther agrees. Esther says, fine, I'm going to go, but there's a condition. And what's the condition? The condition is, Lech kenosis kol ha-yehudim, hanin tzibashushan, b'tzumu alay. Al-tolchlu, b'tishnu, laylo v'yom, shoshas yamim, laylo v'yom, haman even arosai atzum kain. You have to fast for 3 days. And what does the Gemara say? Vayavor Mordechai, vayask, what does the Gemara say? Vayavor Mordechai, vayask, kol asher tzivso, alav ester. Mordechai passed! And he did it. What is this lashon of Mordechai passed? And Rashi says, Vayavor, quoting Chazal, means Mordechai did an avera. What was the avera? So Rashi brings down the discussion, the Gemara, Rashi loses the discussion, the Gemara, where Mordechai comes to Esther and says, we can't go ahead and do this. How can we go ahead and fast today? It's Pesach. Not a fast on Pesach. And Esther says, Mordechai, now you're the one being short-sighted. You were calling me out before about being short-sighted by doing what? By saying, wait a little bit and things will be okay. And you said, no, you got to do it right now because now's the time is right. And if you don't come, the Yeshua is going to come from somebody else. And now you're going to have to be holding accountable for marrying Ahasuerus. And now, what are we saying over here? Esther comes and says, please fast. And Mordechai says, I can't, it's Pesach. And Esther says, Mordechai, if you fast now, if you don't fast, we'll keep this one Pesach. But I won't be successful, and who knows what's going to happen? Maybe the Jews will be destroyed, and there won't be any Pesach next year. But if we fast now, we might blow this Pesach. But if we blow this Pesach, we'll have Pesach forever, until Zman HaMashiach. And what does the Gemara say? Vayavar Mordechai, Mordechai agreed, even though it was an Avera. But it's even more. We have the idea, it says, Kol HaMavir LaMidosav. Gemara Shishan tells us that somebody who's Mavir LaMidosav is what we call Mavater. Shem is Mavater for him too. It could be that this was the catalyst. Mordechai being Mavir Midosa, Vayavar Mordechai, is what brought it through. What we have to do is look at this tragic story in the Gemara, alluded to in our Masechta of Brachos, but really primarily in Bava Metzia. See how what we can learn from there, what didn't work. Contrast it to, let's say, the Megillah to see what did work. And by doing that, we can contribute to live enriching lives and not view the tragedy that we had in Bava Metzia, but the wonderful Yeshuas that we saw in Megillas Esther. Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.